I am so excited to announce that I have released the first official tarot diagnosis spread book. Tarot and Self-Discovery is a therapeutic tarot journey with over 200 spreads, including over 152 card prompts and over 50 robust tarot spreads. You can purchase a physical copy on Amazon or a digital copy at thetarotdiagnosis.com. You are listening to The Tarot Diagnosis. I'm your host, Shannon. I'm a licensed psychotherapist, and I also happen to have a love for tarot. Each episode, I invite you to reflect with me as I work to demystify the tarot and the human experience, all while exploring tarot's connection to mental and emotional health. While this podcast may feel therapeutic, it is not meant to take the place of psychotherapy. So grab your cards and join me as I work to create a pathway to better understand ourselves and those around us. Well, it has been nearly a year since I started going through the major arcana and using them as anchor cards throughout the majority of my solo episodes. And we are finally reaching the end of the major arcana today, and we're exploring the archetype of the world. And it's actually kind of interesting that I'm focusing on the world card today, because this time last year, I was undergoing a radical hysterectomy, and my previous podcast partner and I had parted ways, and it very much felt like a tower slash world period in my life. There was a lot of upheaval, but it also very much felt like a culmination, a completion, and there was a lot of acceptance and a lot of just kind of coming together in many ways, even though there was a lot of like leaving and separating with literal parts of myself and, you know, my previous podcast partner. So it seems almost synchronistic to be kind of reflecting on this time last year and also reaching the final card in the major arcana, and also kind of feeling a similar type of way this time of year currently for me. I feel like I'm kind of in a similar situation as last year in many ways. There has been a lot that has changed in my personal life this year that feels very much like the archetypal energy of the world. And I feel like I finally completed a very specific stage or long season in my life. And as I'm saying goodbye to that chapter, I'm simultaneously walking into, no pun intended, but a whole new world. And now I'm singing that song in my head. Damn it. And just like way of existing. And you know, this time of my life feels like equal parts exhilarating and exhausting. Many of you have noticed that I've been a little bit more quiet than usual on social media, and I haven't been putting out a podcast every week like I normally do. And that's really why I'm in a very interesting stage of life right now. And it won't be like this forever. I just needed to prioritize my time a little bit differently. I desperately miss putting out episodes every single week, and I'm going to get back to that soon. My goal is to, by the summertime, be releasing episodes every week and being able to connect with you all on those episodes. And I have some other really exciting things happening. I can't talk about any of it yet. I don't want to be one of those people, and I don't want to. I'm like, oh, I can't talk about it yet. But there's some cool stuff happening in my world, and some cool stuff that's going to be happening that I can offer all of you. So yeah, you know, I've been spending the last few weeks really thinking about the world card and this episode, because I knew that I was going to be reflecting on the last card in the major arcana, and I was just like really feeling it. Like I was just really embodying the card, and I wanted to come into this episode not projecting all of my own shit onto the card, because, you know, I do share some of my personal experiences with the cards and different parts of my life. But at the same time, it is really important to me that the content that I'm putting out or the discussions that I'm having, especially on the podcast, are a space for you to also project yourself onto. So I wanted to release this episode or record this episode last week, but I felt like I needed a little bit more time to maybe even create some space in between me and this card, because there's just a lot that I'm feeling with it right now. So we know, you know, traditionally that the World card represents a sense of completion, a sense of wholeness. And as of the last few weeks, I've really been thinking about it even as a sense of closure. And, you know, I also have found myself, you know, in the midst of me making sure I'm not projecting all of my own stuff onto this card for this episode, I found myself oscillating between viewing this card through the lens of internal family systems, IFS and parts work, and also Carl Jung's concept of individuation. Because, and this is not a new concept, there are plenty of people out there who have also seen the connection between the world and the process of individuation. And it just feels so fitting. And also, I feel very connected to parts work with the World card. So I figured I'm going to try to explore both of those concepts today. Hopefully, I can keep it somewhat organized and hopefully it all makes sense. So in addition to the world, the archetype of the world representing this, you know, feeling of wholeness and completion, it's ultimately an experience of resolution and finality, but without lasting discomfort. Because I think when we think about finality, resolution, or resolve, it's almost like, oh, but like, what happened to get there? And usually it involves being uncomfortable. But once we get there, and we're kind of floating in the middle of this beautiful wreath, we feel a sense of calmness. We feel a sense of peace and acceptance with where we are. And I think that speaks to the sense of wholeness that this card typically represents. So I want to start by exploring the concept of individuation. So individuation is rooted in Carl Jung's work, and he described it as this process that was transformative and means that we're really striving to experience a sense of harmony in terms of integrating both our conscious and our unconscious. Because when we're able to achieve that harmonious integration, that's when we feel fully whole. And you're probably going to hear me say fully whole, and you're probably thinking like, what the hell does that mean, whole? And I think that that's going to be different for everybody. So for me, feeling whole would be feeling like I can embrace my true authenticity. Like I can be my true self, whoever that is at this point in time in my life. And, you know, I might get into this later on in the episode, but I think that's an important concept here. You know, we're not striving to figure out and become the absolute best perfect version of ourselves, and then we're whole, because that's just not possible. You know, it's just whole and authentic in terms of where we are currently in our life. And that wholeness and that authenticity is likely going to change, I don't know, maybe a month, 6 months, or 6 years down the road. So just speaking of wholeness and authenticity, individuation is really what happens as we're kind of climbing that ladder towards self-actualization and self-realization. And Jung kind of described this process as almost this inherent psychological urge that we all feel, this inherent tendency to work to experience that sense of authenticity and reach our full potential. Another component of individuation, which I think is important to talk about, is this idea of being able to reconcile opposing forces within our psyche. So this is very reminiscent of shadow work. So if we look at the World card, I feel like the World card also really does a great job encompassing this reconciliation of opposing forces. There's a lot of archetypal imagery within the World card that I think speaks to the opposing forces that I'm talking about. Specifically, I think about earth, wind, fire, water, or earth, air, fire, water. And this idea of us kind of floating, or those things floating around us, and us being able to find a balanced and integrated way to exist with all of these. It's this balance and ability to coexist that really feels like it complements not just individuation, but the concept of the self and parts work. Because when I think about the core self and parts work, I envision the core self being in the center and all of our other parts kind of swirling around that self and trying to create this balanced, kind of free-flowing experience. You can't see me right now, but I'm talking with my hands and I'm just like doing this like flowy thing. I should create a visual. But you know, the whole idea of being able to balance opposition is really important when we're talking about individuation and also existing as our core authentic self. Because a lot of times when we don't feel balanced and we're not fully integrated, that's when we're self-critical, that's when we're critical of others, that's when we're lacking empathy, lacking self-compassion, and we just feel misaligned and we usually feel angry and anxious. So when we think about individuation and we think about Jung's work and we think about parts work, the main goal is to always just feel content. And content's like one of the best feelings that we could experience long term, because if you think about it, if we were constantly on a high of joy, that would be exhausting. Like it's not sustainable. So going back to the idea of individuation, I think for a lot of us, when we think about this process, this goes to what I was speaking about earlier. We think about kind of reaching that final rung on the ladder of self-actualization and healing. And it's like, oh, okay, I'm finally done. I reached the top. But the more I sit and reflect on this concept, the more I realize that the process of individuation exists in multiples. So if you were to think about the fool's journey, we don't experience the fool's journey in one go and then we're done. We don't just go through all the cards and all the suits and it's like, cool, okay, now what? But often we're experiencing the concept of the fool's journey multiple times throughout our life. You know, I believe that we reach these pivotal moments of individuation throughout our life based on certain personal milestones that we're experiencing. We might hang out in the archetypal world space for a few months or a few years when this happens, but we don't ever truly stop growing or learning or experiencing things. And as we're learning and growing and having experiences, that changes the way that we view ourselves, we view the world around us, the way we show up in the world, the way we show up in our relationships. And all of those changes have an impact on who we are authentically, which is going to have a ripple effect and, of course, impact our process of individuation or even our core self, which I'll get into shortly. So when we reach the point of having that archetypal world experience, I think it's important to embrace and acknowledge and honor that, but also understand that at some point, we're going to step out of the wreath. That protective barrier is going to break down at some point, or we're going to say, it's just time for us to step outside of it because, you know, we've reached whatever we could reach within it. And, you know, that tradition, and I'm talking about this through the traditional Rider-Waite-Smith imagery with the wreath. I know that there are lots of depictions of the world in more modern decks, but, you know, the whole point is to acknowledge, okay, I've gotten to where I need to be right now, and I'm able to acknowledge who I am now at this point in my life, but also have an open mind knowing that it's okay that you might be working towards your next experience of individuation as well. So this kind of speaks to the multiples I was talking about. Maybe the word like stages is, I don't know if stages is a better word. I haven't figured out a good word yet. If anyone thinks of a better word, please email me and let me know. But I feel like the process of individuation can unfold through, you know, this series of multiples or the series of stages. And that's when we are having these experiences or encounters where we are either doing shadow work or we're having very specific experiences within our relationships or, you know, encounters in our dreams or our fantasies or, like I said, relationships. And again, a lot of this involves having to confront different parts of our shadow, which is the repressed parts of ourself that we might feel shame around or might want to avoid and not explore a process. But when we acknowledge and integrate those parts of our shadow, that's when we're able to own maybe parts of ourselves that have been lost that lead to that sense of wholeness and completion that we see represented by the World card. I like to think about that process, the integration of the shadow, as thinking about a puzzle. Because, you know, by accepting these shadow parts, we become more whole, integrated, and authentic. And it's like at the end of putting a puzzle together. And, you know, once this puzzle is complete, we finally see the whole image with clarity. But the image is not completely smooth. You know, there's the ridges and the lines where each puzzle piece connected. Those lines and those connections are still very much visible. They can even physically be felt. And I think those lines and those connections indicate all of the experiences that we've had, or moments of growth, parts of our shadow, moments of pain and discomfort. So it's not a seamless process, and it's not supposed to be. It's just us in this moment in time encompassing everything that we've experienced, everything that we're willing to acknowledge, everything that we need to acknowledge. And as we go through this process, one of the byproducts or one of the outcomes is that we end up becoming increasingly more aware of our thoughts and feelings. It's similar to like when you're hanging out or in a dark or dimly lit room, or like, you know, at night when you're winding down for bed. And, you know, as your eyes are starting to adjust to the dark room, you start to see things a little bit more clearly because, you know, instead of walking around with your arms outstretched, trying to make sure you're not running into anything, you know, your pupils dilate and allow you to be able to bring in as much light as possible. And because of that process, you're able to feel more comfortable navigating this really dark space. You know, you're not walking around hoping you don't run into anything or stub your toe. And it's similar when you're integrating the parts of your shadow into your parts work or into the process of individuation. So to spend a little bit of time talking about the traditional imagery, you know, we see a figure encircled by this wreath that I was talking about, and then a representation of the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. And I spoke about how the presence of those elements really signify that alignment and balance of the conscious and the unconscious. And there's this kind of ultimate experience of equilibrium and integration here. And I feel like that's why the World card is such a perfect example or beautiful symbol of the individuation process of completion, of fulfillment, and integration. And it really embodies kind of reaching the end, like the culmination of all this personal work that you've been doing on this self-discovery or self-reflection or healing journey. Something that I love too about the concept of the World card and the process of individuation, and me talking about how it's not just kind of like a one-stop shop, you don't get there and then you're done, is the circular shape of the wreath, because it's infinite and it represents a continuum and this never-ending search for meaning, for growth, for evolution. And I like that at the top and bottom of the wreath in the traditional imagery is ribbon. So we can't truly see if that circle is without like an end point. So I wonder if we maybe untied the ribbon, if the wreath would open up and give us space to exit for the next part of our individuation journey. So like I said, all of this really feels similar to the concept of the self and parts work, and the creator of internal family systems and parts work has been, you know, pretty straightforward that he has pulled a lot of work from Carl Jung, a lot of influence from his work. So I'm not surprised. So to talk a little bit more about the core self and parts work in terms of the World card now, I want to just introduce internal family systems for a moment, just briefly. So the IFS model suggests that our minds, our psyche, is made up of a community of parts. And each part has its own perspective on us, on life, our relationships. And each part has its own purpose. So it's kind of like having a board meeting inside your head. Everyone has a voice. Everyone has something to say. And it might be a little chaotic at times. There's probably going to be a lot of disagreements, and each approach is going to be a little different. So within the concept of IFS, there's a part called the self. And this is the core of who you are. It is the calm and compassionate presence within you that acts as kind of like the director. So if we switch from like a business metaphor to maybe a creative metaphor, the director of a movie or a play is the one kind of overseeing the whole production. And the core self is curious, non-judgmental, and accepts all of the parts. The core self sees and acknowledges that each part has its own perspective and its own purpose, and it's there for a reason. And that core self is kind of the wise voice within us that allows us to feel safe and protected and guided, especially when we're having like a really difficult time or experiencing a tower moment. I hosted a workshop inside the Tarot Diagnosis membership community, the symposium, a few months ago, where we actually explored this exact concept. And it was really insightful. And I think I'm going to share an example of an exercise from that workshop today. So within the IFS model, you know, in the concept of the self, there's also this idea and concept of being unburdened. So the majority of our parts, which I don't have time to go into all of them during this episode, but I'm thinking about managers, exiles, and protector parts, are often burdened, whereas the self is unburdened because it's compassionate and curious and wise, and it's the foundation from which healing, and then to use the word integration that I was talking about with individuation, can occur within our internal system and make us feel whole. So the core self has qualities that we refer to as the eight C's. And this is how you can try to identify your own core self. And those qualities are calmness, curiosity, compassion, confidence, courage, clarity, connectedness, and creativity. So I want to share with you one of the exercises that we did in the workshop. And if you want, you can follow along. So if you don't already, pause, go grab a tarot deck, and then come back. So once you have your deck, I want you to spend a moment going through all the cards, not shuffling and pulling blindly. I want you to like just one by one, put each card down and look at each card. And as you're doing this, I want you to find an archetype, find a card that you feel resonates most with what you envision your core unburdened self to be. So again, that core unburdened self is calm, is curious, compassionate, is confident, is courageous, is clear, is connected, and is creative. So once you pull your card, I want you to reflect on in what ways does this archetype embody the eight C's? So personally, when we were doing this workshop, I immediately thought of the High Priestess. I don't pull her often. It is very rare that I pull her. But when I do pull her, I experience an immediate wave of calmness and curiosity and confidence and connectedness. And then when I spend additional time with her, I feel like that's when I get the clarity and the creativity and eventually more courage. So based on the card that you chose, I want you to spend a little bit of time being curious. Why that card? And how does this energy show up for you currently? Something else I want you to do is, and this is a great way to get to know a specific archetype, but especially through a therapeutic lens, I want you to spend some time reflecting on how this card and this archetype represents each of those eight C's. So for me, like talking about the High Priestess, I feel like she exudes a sense of calmness because, you know, she's sitting between these two opposing pillars. And it's like she's the one balancing both of those opposing forces. So there's a sense of calmness there. Nothing is out of balance. Nothing is chaotic. She embodies curiosity because she's got the Torah that she's holding, her book of knowledge. She's got the moon at her feet, representing or symbolizing the subconscious, being curious about the mysteries of herself and the world. She's compassionate because she embodies a sense of deep connection to our own emotions, our own inner world, and understands that there's a lot of influence that goes into that. She's confident because there's just a quiet self-awareness and high intuition that she fully embraces. She's courageous because of the confidence that she has about her intuition, but she's fearless when it comes to diving into the subconscious. There's a lot of courage that it takes to do that. She embodies clarity because of her connection to her intuition and her inner knowing. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of confusion. And if something does feel confusing to her, there's an acceptance there, which in itself feels like it embodies clarity. The connectedness, she's a bridge between the conscious and the unconscious realms. I don't know how you could get more connected than that. So she fully embodies connectedness. And with creativity, I want to go back to the moon. To be fully creative is to tap into our intuition and our subconscious. And she's unafraid to do that. And I think that she pulls a lot of inspiration from the subconscious realm. And, you know, she's sitting in front of this beautiful tapestry. It makes me wonder, did she paint that? Did she create that? So as you sit with your archetype and you go through the eight C's, I want you to reflect. In what ways do I embody these components? And if I'm struggling to embody all these components, what can I do to make sure that I make it a priority, maybe each day, to at least embody one of them? Thank you so much for listening to The Tarot Diagnosis. For more tarot and mental health content, follow The Tarot Diagnosis on Instagram. You can also subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode and sign up to receive The Tarot Diagnosis emails where you'll have access to exclusive spreads and exciting announcements. To join an incredible community of tarot and psychology enthusiasts, join the Tarot Diagnosis membership community, The Symposium, by visiting thetarotdiagnosis.com.